You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast. Just part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? What's up? What's up? What's happening? How you doing? It's another day. It's the Locked On Raiders podcast. It's Wednesday, March 20th, 2019. Your boy Q back with you at your boy Q254 on Twitter. Excited about today's show. Really excited about today's show because as I told you and as I teased on Tuesday's show, I'm going to have an interview with Melissa Jacobs, founder and managing editor of thefootballgirl.com. You can find her on Twitter at thefootballgirl. Had a real good, fun conversation with her. She'll come up in segment number two and segment number three. And it's funny, if you remember, we had those conversations on the podcast about who you'd like to sit down with and just talk football with in Raider history. And I said Al Davis, and a lot of other people have chimed in and given their thoughts on that. I'll tell you right now, I know that Melissa Jacobs is not part of the Raiders organization, but she is someone, after the conversation I had with her, and it was only about 20 minutes, maybe not even 20 minutes complete, but after the conversation I had with her, I wouldn't mind just sitting down in the bar, just talking football, just chopping it up football with her. I can imagine that conversation because she is really, really cool. And you'll hear her in segment number two and segment number three. She just has a real cool personality. And, you know, she doesn't try to act like she knows everything. She's not trying to be, you know, the end all be all and the smartest person in the room. She's not trying to be like some of the talking media heads that we don't like. And I say we as Raider fans because a lot of these guys and a lot of these cats out there try to talk down on Raider fans or try to talk down on people in general and think that they're better than them. She really didn't give me that kind of vibe when I was talking to her. So I could totally sit down and have a beer or two with her and just chop it up talking football and think that'd be a really good conversation. Or maybe just sit around and watch a football game and just see where she's coming from and what she has to say and just bounce some ideas off her. Yeah, she was fun to talk to. So again, Melissa Jacobs, founder and managing editor of thefootballgirl.com. You'll hear that interview I did with her in segment number two and in segment number three. And if you want to give her a follow on Twitter or just see what she's got going on, check her out at thefootballgirl. So now here in segment number one, we all know what I got to get to. I got to get to the big elephant in the room, what I went in pretty good detail on Tuesday's show that I did not want to see the Raiders go out and do. Of course, the minute I say I don't want to see them do something, they go out and do it. And believe me, that's been pointed out to me on Twitter already that, hey, Q, why don't you go ahead and suggest somebody else? Because anytime you suggest someone that you don't want the Raiders to sign, they go out and do that. And so what I'm talking about, who I'm talking about, Vontaze Burfict. Not just one day after the Bengals released him, all of a sudden, the Raiders bring him in, and you knew the writing was on the wall the minute that the Raiders brought him in for a visit because he has that connection with Paul Gunther. He was his defensive coordinator, and I know that Paul Gunther loves him some Vontaze Burfict. So the minute I saw that he was taking a visit with the Raiders, I knew that the writing was on the wall. It was inevitable. He was going to be signed. He was going to be a linebacker for the Silver and Black. The thing about it is, when he was in Cincinnati, he was the weak side linebacker. Well, Tahir Whitehead, he's doing that job right now for the Raiders. He is the weak side linebacker for the Raiders. Well, Vontaze Burfict, he signs on the dotted line. He gets a one-year, $5 million deal, and now he is the new middle linebacker for the Oakland Raiders. Yep, you heard me right. And I know you probably already got the alert on your phone. You've already heard it. You've already seen it on Twitter. You've seen it on SportsCenter, whatever you watch on TV or wherever you get your sports news besides the podcast, besides, you know, Twitter. It's everywhere. It is absolutely everywhere. I was doing a doubleheader Baylor softball game. It was Baylor versus Houston, and I was doing PA for that. And all of a sudden, all these alerts, all these tweets, all these text messages started coming through from all kind of people. Oh, Q, now your team is really the goon squad or something. You know what I mean? You got your car thief. You know, I always talk about choir boys and car thieves. And yeah, the Raiders got their car thief, all right. But I responded like, nah, he's more than a car thief. He's more like an armed robber. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's certain things. There's certain guys that are choir boys, Derek Carr. There's certain guys that are car thieves. And I'm trying to think of a good car thief. I would say that Antonio Brown's probably a little bit of a car thief. I would say, like, Bruce Irvin was a car thief. I'm trying to think, who else could be a car thief? There's certain guys, like Richard Sherman's got a little car thief to him, and I know he's never been a Raider, but he's got some car thief to him. And, you know, there's certain guys that the Raiders have had on their squad in the past that are car thieves. This dude goes beyond a car thief. This dude is an absolute arm robber. He's the guy that if you end up in the liquor store and you're buying a 40-ounce or you're buying whatever, a bottle of Ciroc, and all of a sudden you look up and there's one other dude in the store and it's Vontaze Burfict, you better hurry up, get your order, don't be hesitating, get what you got to go and get and go. Bounce. You know what I'm saying? Like Seely's Liquor Store in Oakland. Hey, that used to be my spot, man. Seely's Liquor. Shout out to Seely's Liquor. But every once in a while, if you've ever been in there, you know that you got in there and there were some shady characters in there and you thinking, yeah, I don't need no liquor that bad. I can go to the other store. You know what I'm saying? Like every once in a while. And look, I ain't no punk, but I'll tell you at the same time, I ain't stupid either. Mama didn't raise no fool. You walk into a situation, a little sticky situation, you see it. You kind of know that you need to turn and get up out of there, right? Yeah, that's how it is. Vontaze Burfict is that guy that'll make you cross the street if you have to. I'm just saying, you could be on the side of, you could be on the left side of the street, and that's the side your house is on, and you see Vontaze Burfict coming up on you. You're like, yeah, you know what? I'll just cross the street and go around. I'll go around. It's better off going around. We all know that Vontaze and AB got some beef going back to when Vontaze was a member of the Cincinnati Bengals and AB was a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. According to Vontaze, now I have not heard this confirmed from Antonio Brown, but according to Vontaze, oh, they got that beef behind them. They're on the same team now. They want to play for a championship. So they got that beef behind them. That's according to Vontaze. Again, I would love to hear AB come out and say, oh, yeah, it's all good. I welcome them to the team. I would think John Gruden and Paul Gunther would probably try to run that by AB before they go out there and make a move like that. But either way, it doesn't really matter. And I know that professionals and grown-ups, and you know, hey, when you're on different teams, it's easy to have beef. When you're on the same team, sometimes you just got to say, hey, you know what? No big deal. Bygones are bygones. That was old. That was in the past. Let's just move on. I mean, that's how it's supposed to be in real life anyway, right? So I know that they have probably an easier understanding, an easier way of moving on from it. Whereas fans, we kind of see what was going on back in the day and think, oh man, they'll never be able to get over that beef. And then again, we saw, like I mentioned on Tuesday, what Michael Crabtree and Aqib Talib were going through. So it is what it is. Vontaze says it's no big deal. AB, I haven't seen at least him come out and say that it was no big deal. But I'm assuming that as professionals who are both getting paid, that they're not really worried about it. And at the end of the day, AB's making $30 million over 3 years. Vontaze is on a one-year, $5 million deal. Now, my biggest issue with this whole thing is, again, not him even being a car thief or an armed robber. I mean, he's got some edge to him. He's a linebacker. That's fine. Maybe he can bring some edge to the Raiders. That's cool. But again, the thing that I'm so concerned about is what I talked about on Tuesday. I don't care if he gets a 15-yard penalty here and there. Sometimes, you know, somebody's got to set the tone. I'm not saying go crazy and do some stuff like that. And I'm sure that Paul Gunther knows exactly how to use him and get the most out of him. I mean, he built a defense basically around him in Cincinnati. I get all of that. So when I'm talking about talent and what he could possibly do, even though he's at the end of his career, you know, he's long in the tooth already, I'm more concerned about the fact that he's got like 7 concussions to record. And that doesn't mean that that's all he's had is 7 concussions, but that's how many are on record, 7 concussions, and he's not available. Again, the best ability is availability, and he's just not available. That's what bothers me. And I could say that, and I could say cliches, and I could say nice, cute phrases that rhyme, and you could say, oh, that, yeah, that's cool, cute, but whatever, he's going to be fine. Let me give you a perfect example of what I'm talking about. For years, and I mean years, if you know a Dallas Cowboy fan, ask him. Hit him up right now. Matter of fact, you could pause the podcast if you want. Hit him up right now and say, hey, how many years as a Cowboy fan did you say, hey, that defense will be solid if Sean Lee is healthy? As long as Sean Lee can stay healthy, defense will be great. You know what? I think the defense is going to be good as long as Sean Lee plays the whole season. You know, once Sean Lee comes back from injury, the team is going to be solid. How many stinking years did the Cowboys do that? Did anyone not notice? I know you know somebody who's a Cowboy fan. Ask them. If you think that I'm lying to you, if you don't think that I'm right, ask them. There's a reason why their defense did not get solid until they drafted Leighton Vander Esch and took a shot on Jalen Smith in the draft as well, a guy that I thought was going to drop to like the third or fourth round because of that horrific knee injury he had. But instead, they draft him in the second round. He gets healthy, comes back a couple seasons later, and then they draft Leighton Vander Esch, and all of a sudden, now they got something. And guess what? Sean Lee got hurt anyway. He still got hurt, and Leighton Vander Esch ended up taking his job, but only after they already had a guy that could slide in and take that because they were tired of saying, well, if he's available, if he's healthy, if he doesn't get hurt. That's what the problem is with Vontaze Burfict. He could be a good player. He could be a damn good player. He could be an intimidating factor at the linebacker position. Like someone pointed out to me on Twitter, well, Gruden has his Romanowski. Yeah, he could be Romanowski if he could stay healthy. But that's a big if. That's my biggest problem. That's why I hate this signing. I do not like this signing. I don't care if he is a member of the Silver and Black. I don't care if he goes out and he gets 100 stinking tackles in 2019. I still don't like the signing because now you're gambling. You're hoping that a guy who hasn't been healthy since 2013, Raider Nation, was the last time he played a whole 16 games. You're dependent on a guy to be available that doesn't have availability. You know what I'm saying? He's not available. He's always hurt or he's suspended. He's just not in the game. What good is a talent on the sideline? It doesn't make any stinking sense. If you were an employer, would you hire a guy that's notorious for being late or not showing up to work? Would you hire a guy that's a no-show? You know when they have references on the application? And you call and the previous employer says, yeah, Q's really talented, but he doesn't show up. Or yeah, Q's really talented, but he calls in sick all the time. You know what you're probably going to do? Probably going to put my application on the bottom and say, well, just in case of emergency, maybe we'll go get this guy. You didn't need to make this signing. I think this signing stinks. This stinks. This is the worst move that the Raiders have made so far this offseason. They've made some really good moves. Again, I was very critical of the Antonio Brown move, but again, I came around on it and I started understanding it and I even backed off the high horse a little bit and said, hey, I kind of get where he's coming from and I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I've said that. I have no problem being wrong. But this is something different. This ain't about attitude. This ain't about effort. This is about health. And the dude is just not healthy. He's just not. He's played two seasons. 2012, he played all 16. 2013, he played all 16. And that's it. The very next season after 2013, he played 5. Last year, he played 7. The most he's played since in between that was like 11. I broke it down to you on Tuesday. That's why I hate this signing. I think it smells like a big old pile of hot poop that you walk by on the street or maybe a dog. You know what? I have neighbors. Because I don't have no dogs for a reason. Because I'm the guy who's got to do the yard work. I got to do mowing the lawn. I don't want to have no dog because I don't want to walk up and down the lawn. All of a sudden, a big old pile of crap is there and it stinks. And I got to clean it up before I mow the lawn. I have neighbors that somehow let their dog crap on my yard, which pisses me off, which is a whole nother conversation. But this stinks like that does. This stinks as bad as it does when I'm mowing the lawn and all of a sudden I come up on a pile of dog crap and I don't have a dog. That's how mad I am about this signing. I'm just saying. I'm not trying to come with no hot sports take, whatever you want to call it, because I'm just not that dude. I'm just not happy with this signing because now you're banking, you're counting, you're relying on somebody who's not reliable. How insane is that? That's insane. It doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make any sense. So, whatever. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it is what it is. Again, this is probably Paul Gunther's call. I mean, obviously, John Gruden and Mike Mayock have to sign off on it, but I'm sure this is Paul Gunther wanting his guy. He built a defense around him in Cincinnati. He's hoping that he can get the most out of him. But again, he can't get nothing out of him if he's not available on the field. That's all I got to say on the whole signing. We'll see what happens. It's only a one-year, $5 million deal, so they didn't break the bank for him. Hell, who knows? Maybe they'll go through training camp and he doesn't even make the team because he just don't have it no more. I did tell you on Tuesday, don't get all upset about signings because they might not make the team. So I probably should take my own advice. But still, I'm just kind of worked up because I don't like this signing for every reason that I've told you the last 10 to 15 minutes, whatever it is. I've gone over my time limit, but it's all good. Anyway, that's what I got to say on Vontaze Burfict. It's a done deal. There was other linebackers that the Raiders had in for a visit. They all left without a deal. They had Manti Te'o in. Didn't like that. They had Aaron Lynch in. I was kind of cool with that one. I was hoping they'd go in on Brandon Marshall and go get him. But instead, Vontaze freaking Burfict. But again, the minute that you saw he was visiting the Raiders, you knew. You had to know. If you didn't know, you were just trying to lie to yourself. And believe me, I tried to lie to myself for a few minutes, but I said it on my radio show. You can go back and check. ESPN Central Texas, listen to CentralTexasSports.com. That's the website. You can go listen to the show, Unnecessary Roughness. And here, I do a segment called Cover 3, and it's the start of the second hour. And you'll hear me say, oh, Vontaze Burfict's going to be a Raider because he's in there and he's meeting with the team and he's got that relationship with Gunther. The writing's on the wall. I mean, I said it early in the day before it ever happened, but you know, it is what it is. We'll see what other parts that the Raiders add to the team and how they continue to build the team. And again, the draft is still coming up, so there's still a lot of great pieces, a lot of great parts that they can get. Now, let me get on to some good stuff, all right? Melissa Jacobs, she's coming up next in segment number two, founder and managing editor of thefootballgirl.com. Find her on Twitter, @thefootballgirl. Really, really stinking good conversation I had with her. That's going to be segment number two and three on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders. Your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, here we are, Raider Nation, segment number two on today's Locked On Raiders podcast on this Wednesday, March the 20th, 2019. And believe me, the next two segments will be a lot more pleasant, at least for me at least, than segment number one was. But yeah, anyway, I got myself all worked up. I got to calm it on down, and I'm about to, because I'm about to give you some good stuff for your ears. Melissa Jacobs, I had an opportunity to talk to her, and you're going to hear that interview in the next two segments. She is the founder and managing editor of thefootballgirl.com. You can find her on Twitter, @thefootballgirl. And the reason why I wanted to have her on, you'll hear this as soon as the interview starts. She had an article that she put out that I saw at the end of last week on Twitter, and it was about apologizing to Raider Nation because Jon Gruden really does have a plan and really did have a plan when he took over the job as the Raiders head coach, where she didn't think that he did. And so she came out and was like, hey, I was wrong. And I don't have no problem with that. You could be wrong about something, but as long as you come out and you got the stones to say that you were wrong, I respect that. So that's what caught my attention. I read her piece. I thought it was really good. It was on thefootballgirl.com, @thefootballgirl on Twitter. If you're trying to look for that piece, you can find it. Matter of fact, you'll hear in the interview exactly what it's called. So I'm not going to talk about it no more. I'm just going to get into the interview myself and Melissa Jacobs right here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. Here's part one. Joining me now on the phone line is Melissa Jacobs. You can find her on Twitter, @thefootballgirl, and she is the founder and managing editor of thefootballgirl.com and has plenty of football background and accolades this offseason. A lot of things are going on, and I really wanted to talk to you because you had a piece I noticed on Twitter where you basically were saying that you couldn't believe Jon Gruden had a plan when he took over the Raiders head coaching job in 2018, but this offseason has actually made you change your mind. It's called I'm Sorry Raiders, You Had a Plan All of Long. What was the number one key? What was the thing that sign that stood out to you the most that actually made you believe, like, okay, Gruden really does have a plan going on here?
I think thanks for having me, by the way, and I think it's a convergence of things, but I think really, like, Mike Mayock is even more so than Jon Gruden, and obviously Jon Gruden had a big hand in that hiring, and those two have really seemed to coalesce very quickly. They both have touted each other. And I love what Mayock did with the Antonio Brown trade. I mean, that just the patience there, waiting until the deal fell through with the Bills and getting him for what I think is very little, almost nothing. And I know that some people can say that they overspend in free agency in certain spots, but I think they got a lot of pieces that they need, and I just didn't think they would be this well-positioned so quickly heading into the draft. I mean, they still need a lot of defensive pieces, of course, but I don't know. It felt so disastrous, and I think with the Khalil Mack trade and obviously followed by Cooper, it felt like, oh, the bottom was falling out, but it just doesn't feel like that based on the moves they've made.
No, it really did. It felt like, oh, this is going to be the longest 10 years ever. You know, this is going to...
Right, and you know, and I think that was also on the heels of Gruden being back and not embracing analytics and seeming like he was going to have a disconnect and he was like this fish out of water in this new NFL. So I think a lot of us, and you know, as much as I'd like to say I'm an objective journalist, you know, I read things and I think things, and I think, you know, a lot of us just kind of had this, you know, presupposition that, like, oh, maybe he shouldn't have come back. Maybe he's kind of missed the boat. And that kind of framed our judgment when it came to things like the Khalil Mack trade.
And how much do you think, because, you know, you're obviously in the media, I'm in the media, you know, to a certain extent, whatever, but how much do you think that's him just have been in the media on that side of things for so long, kind of knows how to, I don't want to say play the game, but just kind of put things out there to get people to believe whatever they want to believe and take it for what it's worth, when really he kind of has a different idea in his head?
Right. I mean, bear in mind, like he, you know, and I interviewed Jon Gruden back, you know, in his ESPN role, not since he's been with the Raiders. I mean, all this guy did is watch film. You know, he had his, like, the fired coaches in you know, his office used to be in Tampa, and he would literally just sit there with all these other fired coaches, and they would just talk about the game and watch film on current players. And then obviously in his role with ESPN, he had to do that. So, you know, he definitely was, he had a game plan and he was waiting. I mean, we know every coaching cycle is John Gruden going to leave Monday Night Football. And it felt like it almost every year. So, he was obviously still connected to modern NFL, given that he was the analyst for Monday Night Football, but he was also, you know, kind of plotting simultaneously. So I think maybe we were all a little premature in thinking there really was a disconnect.
You mentioned Mike Mayock and the hiring of him and how that was a really good move, and you like what he did in the Antonio Brown trade. And I like the Mike Mayock hiring just because of the draft. And we all know with Gruden's history of drafting, he hasn't been very good, but that's what Mike Mayock did. You know, I mean, that's his thing. I was surprised that he was able to play the GM role beyond the draft at a level that he's doing. You know, I thought it was going to take some kind of learning, but it seems like Mike Mayock is just kind of sliding right in and feels comfortable.
Right. I mean, if he's able to do this in the free agency period and get like all those puzzle pieces already, and you know, obviously this is all contingent, you know, my notion that they had a plan is all contingent on them drafting well, right, using these first round picks well, and then working out presumably defensively. But as I noted in my piece, I mean, that, and as you just said too, Q, like that's his expertise. Like, unlike John Lynch, who was hired by the 49ers, whose whole job was like, okay, we have this game this week and we're going to just kind of pick apart this team a little bit. Mike Mayock's entire job was to evaluate draft talent, like almost his entire job. So you got to feel, if you're a Raiders fan, I mean, you've got to be pretty psyched and kind of, you know, just have your popcorn ready for the draft beyond even having all those first round picks, because you do have this, you know, kind of quasi draft genius that could literally completely change the trajectory of your team.
Yeah, you really do. And honestly, that's the part of the test I feel like he should ace. You know what I mean? Like, that's that should be the part he aces. Now, obviously, he's got to go ahead and execute it. It's one thing to do it on TV and then do it in the war room. But that's the part that I'm excited about, is I think that he really can bring that to the table and bring in some good places. Would you think that, and this is what I've called this year's draft for the Raiders, I've called this the most important draft in the history of the Raiders. Would you say that that's a fair assessment of the situation?
I mean, I'm trying to think of all their draft picks in the past. Obviously, they've have, you know, been known for busts here and there. But, oh, yeah, given the number of first-round picks they have, I mean, this is – and bringing in Mayock for this reason at this time with those picks, absolutely. I mean, this is it. This changes what, you know, the next 5-10 years of this organization is going to look like. And you got to sell tickets in Las Vegas.
True.
You got to get guys that are, I mean, obviously you have Antonio Brown, like that's, you know, pretty decent start, but you got to get players in there that are going to crush it as rookies. They're going to get people to want to invest in this team for years to come. So yeah, I completely agree with you.
Talking right now to Melissa Jacobs. You can find her on Twitter at the Football Girl. And you mentioned Antonio Brown. What did you make of the whole situation? Not even from the Raiders standpoint, just sitting back watching the whole thing unfold and how he exited in Pittsburgh and how he entered in Oakland. What was your thoughts, and what did you think of Antonio Brown in that situation? And do you feel like more players in the future maybe kind of doing that same thing, trying to hustle their way out of town, similar to what he did, and Le'Veon Bell as well?
Yeah, I think the Pittsburgh situation is a little bit special. I mean, they butt heads. He butted heads with Ben Roethlisberger, and the team decided to put its eggs in the Roethlisberger basket. I mean, that's no. In fact, I don't like how he quit on the team at the end of the season. That kind of goes against NFL code.
Right.
But from a sort of and that's the thing. So you have this, you know, crazy reaction to that. But at the same time, if you're just thinking it from, you know, a human nature perspective, and you have a boss or a coworker that has just rubbed you the wrong way forever, and you feel like you're just talking to a deaf wall, and you know you want out, then it's really hard to kind of follow that NFL code, especially. And yeah, he is a diva wide receiver, but he should be. Like, that's part of what makes him good, is that swagger. And you know, he's a smart guy. I mean, you guys all saw it at the press conference. Like, you know, all the antics, all the off-season stuff, the name, the, you know, he does the press conferences. He's not wearing the walrus mustache anymore. It's like he's you know, I got my situation. I'm happy. He's like, you know, besties with Derek Carr all of a sudden. And he just, you know, some people just need a new change of scenery. And I think it's no secret that he was top of the list when it comes, when it, you know, in the NFL.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair as well. I even went on a further extent and said that, hey, you know, how many of us have wanted to change our situation, but we ain't got the money to do it? You know what I mean? Like, we don't have the money just to say, I don't need to do this. I could walk away from it. I got to get that, you know, that paycheck. I got to get that paid to the order of where he doesn't have to. He's already made it.
Right. And I mean, you know, honestly, he was pretty savvy to get the Steelers owner in there and actually agree to orchestrate a trade. Like, it kind of, you know, it got really testy there for a while, but I feel like it ended with one of those, like, relatively amicable, given, you know, this could have been a situation where, had it gone a different way, like, Brown could be trash talking this team forever and it could still be lingering. But I feel like it was a pretty clean break, and the Raiders have, you know, a receiver ready for a fresh start.
All right, that was part one. Hopefully you're enjoying that. Melissa Jacobs, founder and managing editor of thefootballgirl.com, and again on Twitter at thefootballgirl. Part two of my interview with her is coming up next. We're going to start off talking some Derek Carr. That's coming up in segment number three of the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are. Final segment of today on the Locked On Raiders podcast. It is Wednesday, March the 20th, and you just heard the first half of my interview with Melissa Jacobs from thefootballgirl.com on Twitter at thefootballgirl. And I keep telling you her Twitter because I encourage you to go follow her. She has a lot of good stuff to say, has a lot of good thoughts. And like I said, you heard the first half of her interview, and hopefully you're enjoying it. I would love to hear your feedback on it. 707-654-4693. You do know that's the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. Or you can always tweet at me at your boy Q254. Or hell, you could tweet at her as well and let her know what you thought. So here it is, part two of my conversation with Melissa Jacobs. And I start off part two asking about Derek Carr. Is he the long-term solution for the Raiders at quarterback? I had to ask, Raider Nation. I had to ask. I mean, it's a conversation we've been having, and it's not because I'm trying to start some mess. I always got to put a disclaimer out there. I ain't trying to start some mess. I just wanted to get her thoughts on it. So here it is. I asked her about Derek Carr, and is he the long-term solution for the Raiders? How much do you well, first of all, let me ask you this. Do you think Derek Carr is the solution for the Raiders long term?
I think this is the prove it year.
Okay.
That's obviously, aside from drafting correctly, I think Derek Carr improving and not being so conservative. I mean, you have Brown, you have Tyrell Williams, you have potentially, honestly, you have potentially the best receiving core in football, at least starter wise. I mean, mm-hmm. He's just crazy, speedy weapons. And you can't be conservative. So
right.
It's just going to very much depend on the playbook. And I mean, Derek Carr looks pretty happy. Like, he was, you know, he was rewarded, and now he has Trent Brown there. So, I mean, this is it. Like, this is the year where if he regresses or just doesn't improve, then I think the Raiders need to kind of have a sort of, you know, mulligan for the future.
Right, no doubt. And you know, obviously the draft is coming up, and the biggest name in the draft coming up is Kyler Murray, all 5'10" of him. He's already proven that that's how tall he is, and that's fine. what are your initial thoughts on Kyler Murray? Do you think he's a guy that can go into the NFL? He's won at every single level, no matter what he's done in his life. He's always been a winner. Do you think he could take that winning mentality, that game, to the NFL and succeed?
I do, and I have to be honest. I'm one of those media members that's very honest. It's like, you know, I don't watch that much college football, and I'm, you know, now is the period where I am, and I'm back watching film and kind of coming to my conclusions instead of pretending like, you know, I had draft boards for the last year.
That's awesome. But, I love the honesty.
I mean, it's important. I mean, you know, there's a lot of us. It's hard. You know, we all feel like we want to be able to, like, break down all these players, but we're not, you know, we're not all mini Mike Mayock. Like, mm-hmm. Some of us can only handle covering the NFL, and that's fine. But yeah, I love, yeah, I was at the combine, and I loved everything I saw from him there. I know he didn't do that much, but, you know, just personality wise and what I've seen on film, and he does seem very committed to the NFL now. And I didn't see Baker Mayfield being what Baker Mayfield is and can be. So yes, Kyler Murray, and, you know, sky's the limit for him.
Now the big question is, does he go number one overall in your opinion?
I think he does.
Okay.
Yeah.
It feels like it, doesn't it?
I mean, unless there's some crazy trades happening, but I do. I think,
I kind of,
you guys not, you don't think he's No, number one overall?
No, I kind of feel like he is going to go number one overall, even though I think that's a little insane that, you know, Arizona just picked number one. You know what I mean? They just picked last year number one, or not, they got a quarterback in the first round, and it seems like they're going to move on from him, you know, just as quick in 1 year. So I think it's insane, but at the same time, Cliff Kingsbury wasn't his head coach. You know, Cliff is a new guy, so why not start new with a new quarterback?
Right. I think it's insane Arizona hired a head coach and then let him go after a year, too. So
true, yeah, no doubt.
Clearly, I think Arizona has some serious issues, and they all pretty much stem from the GM there. So until while he's still there, I'm not surprised if they do anything. I agree with you that it's kind of sad that they would move on from Rosen so quickly, but I'm not surprised by anything I see from Arizona at this point.
Yeah, that's true. They are kind of a mess. I only got a couple more questions for you. What do you think if, say, Kyler Murray doesn't go at number one, and he doesn't go number two to San Francisco, number three is the Jets, he won't go there. They're sitting at number four. John Gruden and Mike Mayock are sitting in the war room, and Kyler Murray's still there. Do they call that dude, or do they go out and get one of those defensive studs because that's where they need the most help?
I don't know what you guys think, but I feel like they have there's enough defensive studs, but not. I feel like that's their need. And John Gruden took this job because he thought he could turn Derek Carr into something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was so contingent on the quarterback. So just like moving on from Rosen after 1 year, if you consider Derek Carr kind of like a rookie with under John Gruden, in a sense, it seems weird that you would waste one of those picks. But again, Mike Mayock is like, you know, the draft genius. So mm-hmm. he like truly thinks that Kyler Murray is some generational quarterback that is going to be the face of the franchise for 15 years. And it's worth the risk. But I hope they go defense because it would really round out the roster nicely.
Yeah, that's where I'm at too. I don't think that they go and get Kyler Murray, but it's just, you know, all these reports are out there that John Gruden loves them.
Yeah.
And, you know, and John Gruden loves everybody. I mean, you talked about you talked about his
quarterback
camp.
What quarterback does he not love?
Right, exactly. I mean, Christian Hackenberg, he loved him, and you see he's playing in the AAF. So, you know, I mean,
not very well either.
Exactly. Well, let me ask you one more question about the draft. Is there any guys in particular, and it doesn't have to be Raider related or whatever, but is there any guys that you really have your eye on, like you're really intrigued by and you want to see where they go and you think that they're going to be a really good pro?
I mean, I don't have any sleepers. Again, I'm not like draft expert person doing draft boards, but like I love everything I've seen from Quinnen Williams, just from, you know, the workouts to the tape to the, you know, to his mentality. He just, and I know that that's not, again, like not exactly a sleeper pick, but man, he is, I think he could be, you know, I hate saying future Hall of Famer at this point, but just someone to be like a really massive, just disruptive player in this league. So I'm really excited about him.
Well, I knew I liked you for a reason because that's my pick.
We're
on the same page.
With a Q. Yeah,
well, that too. I like that too. But you know, it's really cool. I said that because you know, I know the Raiders grabbed Mo Hurst last year and they got PJ Hall, but I just feel like Quinnen Williams is a next level guy. You know what I mean? And he's just like you said. I don't want to say he's a Hall of Famer yet because he has to go out there and earn it. But he just seems like he's gonna be the part, and you can't let that guy pass. So I said if he's there at number four, that the Raiders got to go get him. That's my pick.
Oh.
So,
totally.
Yeah, so I'm glad
that
you said
that. He's the guy that's going to give the opposing offense nightmares. So.
Exactly right, and that's what the Raiders need. They need a defense that could do anything. So that's great stuff. That's Melissa Jacobs. You can find her on Twitter at TheFootballGirl. Like I said, she is the founder and managing editor of TheFootballGirl.com. And I know you got some podcasts that you're on as well. Go ahead and tell everyone where they can find you on some podcasts.
Yeah, so I host the Football Girl podcast. It's a weekly podcast. Often we highlight prominent women under the NFL umbrella. So broadcasters, coaches, just, you know, a lot of good football conversation, but also there's a lot of good advice and takeaways. And then, you know, a lot of times I just do a lot of reaction to news, and I have my own little spin on things. So hopefully you guys will come check that out.
No doubt about that. And I know I said that was the last question, but since you know, you're highlighting a lot of women in sports, Amy Trask predominantly, you know, she's beloved by the Raiders. Raider fans all over love her. And then also Beth Mowins. I'm a big fan of Beth Mowins as well. She does a great job on a broadcast for football, golf or softball. She does a heck of a job. So have you had them on the podcast or have you talked about them at any time?
Well, as a matter of fact, Amy Trask was my very first podcast guest.
Bingo.
And yeah, we've become, you know, like a lot of people with Amy Trask, we've become Twitter friends.
Nice.
And Beth Mowins, who I know has done pre and post for the Raiders for so many years, so I assume Raiders fans hopefully have a, you know, strong affinity for her. Yes, she was, I believe it was like my fifth or sixth.
Nice.
Podcast guest. So there, if you go search the Football Girl podcast, you will, I mean, and Amy too, for Raiders fans, she just has a plethora of amazing anecdotes from her time with Al Davis and being the only woman in the room. Just great stories, hilarious, inspiring, and, you know, both of them were great. So.
Well, I'll tell you right now, and I'm not just saying this just to say it, I'm going to go do that immediately. I'm going to check out both of those.
Awesome.
Yeah, I've had both of them on the podcast before, and they're both great and have so much knowledge, and I love it, and honestly, just love the conversation that we were able to have just to bounce stuff back and forth with each other, and I definitely look forward to talking to you down the line. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
All right, there it was. That's all we got for you right there. That was Melissa Jacobs, again, founder and managing editor of thefootballgirl.com and on Twitter at The Football Girl. And believe me, I'm going to have a lot more conversations with her, even if it's on the radio show or on the podcast. Or like I said, if I ever get the chance to hang out with her, I think she's going to be at the draft. So when I go to Nashville in April, maybe I'll stumble upon her and say what's up and have a little bit of a conversation with her. Because again, she has a hell of a personality. You can tell by the interview. And I think she's very knowledgeable. And I also like the fact that she said she had Amy Trask on the podcast. So Raider Nation, go listen to that one. Go search it and find that podcast with Amy Trask and also Beth Mowins, two women that I highly, highly respect in the business, two women that I highly, highly respect as former Raiders or part of the Raider organization. And I consider Beth Mowins a part of the Raider organization. I think she does a hell of a job. And I kind of wish that she was the voice of the Raiders instead of Brent Musburger. But that's another podcast conversation that we could have another time. And we all know the accolades that Amy Trask holds, so I don't have to go and say nothing else. But you see, she had Amy and Beth on really early in her podcast. So definitely, if you could get some time, go search them, go find them, give it a listen, see what you think. Coming up on tomorrow's episode, we'll have more news and notes about the Raiders. I'll have calls off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line because I didn't get to any today. 707-654-4693. And hopefully I'm talking about something really good. Hopefully I've got some really good news for you and not, you know, another signing that I don't like. But we'll see, man. Free agency still rolls on. The Raiders are still wheeling and dealing. I like the fact that they're being aggressive. They got things going on, and they're trying to build a team. So all that I respect. Vontaze Burfict, again, he's hot poop on the grass, and I'm mowing the lawn, and all of a sudden I roll up, and he's right there. And I got to go clean it up, and I ain't even got a damn dog. That's what Vontaze Burfict is to me, but that's just me. So until next time, Raider Nation, until Thursday's episode, as always, just win, baby.